We have as our speaker this week, Brother Greg Dismuke. He is originally from Illinois, out towards the west a little bit of here, kind of in my direction, so I can identify with that a little bit. After graduating from Memphis School of Preaching in 1998, he came up here and preached at the Grand Summit Congregation in Portsmouth for a while, and that's how people around here got to know him, and we're thankful that he's come back our way. He's been back here a few times, but we're grateful that he's back here at Flatwoods again for another gospel meeting. The previous one we had with him was, I was not here at the time, but spoken so well of how great of a meeting it was, and this has been the same. Brother Greg has not been feeling 100% this week, but you could not tell it from his preaching. I know sometimes when I preach and don't feel 100%, I wonder about that. Well, I wouldn't know, and it's been wonderful to just sit at his feet because what he preaches is simply God's words. They're simply straight from the Bible, and he allows the Bible to speak for itself and clarify itself. And so tonight, Brother Greg is going to speak to us about earth, 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 where God pleads with creation. And really, God is pleading through us, through the words of the Bible, and through the words that Brother Greg is going to bring to us tonight. Come preach to us, Brother Greg.
Good evening. It's always a delight of mine to be able to be here, and I've just been very fond of the Flatwoods congregation for all the years that we have made that acquaintance way back in 1998, and for the opportunities I've had to be with you all. And you know, coming back to this area is more than simply just coming to do a gospel meeting. It feels like family. And indeed, that's what it is. My spiritual brothers and sisters, and so I'm always thankful. And then I get the opportunity to make old acquaintances as well with those from Portsmouth, and I'm glad to see them. And then we have those from Moorhead and other places where I've been fortunate enough to hold gospel meetings. And it's just a delight of mine to be with you all and to have you all in the presence here. Thankful to God that we can still do things like this. I believe there's a movement among us that believes that this is not actually important anymore, that we don't have to do gospel meetings and things of that nature. But when the church is edified and encouraged, I believe that's good. And I believe God is well pleased with things such as that. So I'm thankful. I appreciate you so much. And tonight we're looking at, for a title, a sermon entitled Earth, Earth, Earth. Our text is Jeremiah chapter 22. Jeremiah chapter 22 and verse number 29. Now you can go over there and I'll be there shortly. But Jeremiah as a whole is a book that warns. Judah has began to follow in the ways of the northern kingdom, and God is about to bring destruction. The nation has a choice. That choice is simple. You can either surrender to Babylon and receive the God-appointed captivity, or you can be slaughtered and destroyed. Now, that's Israel's choice. Not much of a choice, is it? But I believe that they have gotten themselves in this position because they have gone away from the word of God. And now God is ready to bring judgment. But even with God ready to bring judgment, Jeremiah gives them a message of hope. Judah will be built again. And all those nations that took advantage of Judah, God is going to judge, including the nation of Babylon. So the prophet Jeremiah has a sad mission indeed. Boy, when I read Jeremiah, you know, we think about ourselves as preachers today. And I remember when I was in Portsmouth, a man came to me after hearing me preach one Sunday, and he said, "Boy, Brother Greg," he said, "I'm sure the Apostle Paul would have loved to have had you for a companion." And I thought about that for a moment. And I ended up writing a sermon about that. Could I be Paul's companion? And so I thought about that. I mean, when you think about what the Apostle Paul went through and what he was all about and how he upheld God's word even to his own hurt, and how he suffered many things for the cause of Christ and he would not shrink, and how he put forth Christ and him crucified. And Paul was the kind of individual that would simply let you know that he was not going to preach anything except Christ and him crucified. No matter what it cost him, he was going to stay the course when it came to preaching the word of God. And when a man says, "Paul would have loved to have you as a companion," I really had to think about that soberly. Could I be Paul's companion? Well, as I think about Jeremiah, how would you like to be Jeremiah's companion? He has such a sad mission to come and tell his own people in this nation that God is going to destroy them. Consider a few things that's leading up to our text. In chapters 21 through chapter 23, the kings and the false prophets are denounced. In chapter 21, verses 1 through 20, Zedekiah asked Jeremiah to ask God concerning the king of Babylon that's bringing war against them. In chapter 21, verses 11 and 12, Jeremiah began speaking on the duties of the kings. And then he follows it up with a warning against Jerusalem in chapter 21, verses 23 and 24. And as he moves to chapter 2, he takes up again the discussion against the kings and the duties of those kings of Judah. Chapter 22, 1 through 9, and then he pronounces warnings against the evil kings of Judah. You will notice in chapter 22, 10 through 12, Jehoahaz. He pronounces warnings against him. And then Jehoiakim in chapter 22, verses 13 through 19. Then he begins to talk about Jerusalem's doom in chapter 22, verses 20 through 23. And then Jehoiakim, who is also known as Coniah, in verses 24 through 30. And then that brings us to our text. Jeremiah makes a passionate plea in verse number 29. He says, "O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord." And I've entitled this sermon this evening, "Earth, Earth, Earth." Jeremiah cries out to inanimate nature, "Who will hear the word of the Lord?" Man has failed to hear the word of the Lord. Man has failed to heed the word of the Lord. And you'll find out before long that not much has changed when it comes to man and the word of God. But it needs to be heard and obeyed by all. When you think about his plea to the earth to hear the word of the Lord, it is because man will not hear the word of the Lord. When the word of God is spoken, my friends, it is imperative that men hear, and not only hear, but hear with the intentions of obeying the word of God. This man, the Apostle Paul, recognized something that I believe everyone needs to recognize, and that is this. There is only one power here in all of the earth that is for the purpose of saving man's sin-sick soul. There is no other power here left by God except his word, and that is the only thing that can do it. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, the Bible says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints of the marrow and the discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart." My friends, only the word of God can reach down into the regions of the soul and of the spirit, and my friends, do work in that area. That is the only thing that can reach down into a man and bring alive that spirit that God has put in him. Nothing else can do that outside of the word of God. No wonder when Paul would give Timothy his charge in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says in verse 1, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word." And he says, "Be instant or urgent about it, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." He said, "For the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall be turned away from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." And isn't that just like man today to want fables? Doesn't he want a lot of stories from the pulpit? Doesn't he want someone to tickle his ears? Doesn't he want someone to tell him, "I'm all right and you all right"? Doesn't he want someone to tell him that we will not judge you from the word of God? My friends, when it comes to these kind of things, we got to adhere to the word of God. Oh, earth, 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 who will hear and know the significance of the word of God? In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 3, Paul would say to Timothy, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some not to teach no other doctrine." He said, "Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do." He said, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned, which some, having swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm." Paul told Timothy, you need to set it in order that folks do not go away from the word of God. And no wonder Paul, when he writes to the Romans in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." He said, "For it is the power of God. It is the dunamis. It is God's dynamite. It is the only thing that can break up a hard heart." He says, this word of God, he is not ashamed to preach that word of God. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He says in verse 17, for therein is the word of is the righteousness of God revealed from faith unto faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. My friends, only the word of God can reveal the righteousness of God. Only the word of God can justify an individual. And so when the word of God is being spoken, every man, woman, boy, or girl needs to hear the word of the Lord. My friends, this word of the Lord is significant. Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, he says, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. My question tonight is, who will hear the word of the Lord? Who will hear the word of the Lord? Who understands the significance then of God's word? I tell you, Moses wanted to impress it upon the children of Israel. He wanted them to understand the significance of the word of the Lord. In fact, he says, if you don't understand the significance of the word of the Lord, I will call heaven and earth. I will call inanimate creation to witness against you this day. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse number 19. He says, I call heaven and earth to record against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. He said, therefore, choose life that thou and thy seed may live. My friends, when man will not hear the word of the Lord, inanimate creation will shame man for his irresponsibility when it comes to the word of God. You recall when Jesus was entering into Jerusalem and he was making his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and all of those disciples began to praise him and they began to cry out, and they was recognizing Jesus as the Messiah for all of the wonderful works that they had seen. And then those Pharisees began to rebuke Jesus, saying, do you hear what these are saying? And you need to rebuke them so that they hold their peace. And Jesus makes a statement. Jesus said, for if I now tell these to hold their peace, he says, the stones would immediately cry out. My friends, when you think about this most momentous occasion, Jesus is openly being shown to be the Messiah. He's coming into Jerusalem, and just a little while he'll be hanging on the cross. And all of history has been looking forward to this event. Whether man understood and knew it or not, this Jesus that those folks are crying out and they were praising him, he says, if they don't do it, then inanimate nature will. My friends, man ought to be ashamed of himself when it comes to the word of God. Jesus said the stones then would immediately cry out. Isaiah, when he was talking to his people, in Isaiah 1 and 2, he says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord God had spoken. But something is just not right. Something is not adding up. God says, I have nourished up children and they have rebelled against me. He said, the ox knoweth his owner and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Jeremiah the prophet is making a passionate plea to the earth as if it should attest to the momentous importance of the word of God. He calls to the earth as if it should be trusted to hear, because man will not. And it appears, and I imagine it's been this way for a very long time, that everything in God's creation obeys God but man. When you consider Noah, all of those animals went into the ark because they obeyed God. But man didn't have sense enough to listen to the preaching of Noah and save himself. But yet the animals listened to God and went into the ark. The sun, the moon, and the stars, after all of this time, are still doing exactly what God told them to do. The psalmist said, God gave his decree even to the sea, that the waters should not pass his commandment when he appointed the foundations of the earth. My friend, the sea is still obeying God. Jeremiah says, man needs to know the significance of the word of God. Oh, earth, hear and know not only the significance of the word of God, but the surety of the word of God. You see, what Jeremiah does is he sees the sight of the calamities that are swiftly coming upon his people, upon his beloved land. He takes seriously the warnings that has been given by God of impending doom. The land is overrun by the cruel armies of the Babylonians. The holy city is burnt with fire. The temple is desecrated and destroyed. The kings, one after another, are ending their days in shame and misery. Josiah, the best of all of those kings, was slain in battle. Shalom, his son, is exiled in Egypt and dying there. Jehoiakim, carried away by Nebuchadnezzar and perishing at a very early age in some miserable fashion, because in Jeremiah 22, 19, the Bible prophesied that he would die with the burial of an ass, which means literally he would not even get a burial. Josephus says that Nebuchadnezzar actually slew him in Jerusalem, dragged his body outside of the gate, and just left it out there in the open with no burial. The prophecy came true. Jehoiakim, Coniah, also Jeconiah, with his mother was seized by Nebuchadnezzar and taken to Babylon when he was just 18 years old. And now a curse is pronounced upon him and his lineage in Jeremiah 22 and verse number 30. Notice it with me. The Bible says, thus saith the Lord God, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper sitting on the throne of David, ruling any more in Judah. This curse would have far-reaching ramifications, even down to the Messiah that was to come. You see, Matthew reveals that Christ was actually in the seed line of Coniah in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 12. Therefore, Jesus himself could not prosper if he was on David's throne in Judah ruling. That's what's wrong with the premillennial doctrine that says that Jesus is going to come back one day and he's going to reign on earth for 1,000 years. If Jesus came back and set foot on this earth and attempted to reign 1,000 years in Jerusalem, he could not prosper because he's of the seed line of Coniah. So you can see why Jeremiah is weeping, this weeping prophet, and he's so sad about the condition, the deplorable state that Israel finds himself in because of their wickedness and because of the impending doom that God has promised to them. When you get to the point that not even Christ himself could prosper, you know that God was not pleased with this nation. But thankfully, Jesus doesn't have to prosper sitting and ruling in Judah. He is on David's throne, according to the psalmist in 89, 35 through 37. But the Bible says he's in heaven, ruling on David's throne. And that's the point that Peter was making in Acts chapter 2 in that first gospel sermon in verses 30 through 36, that Jesus was in heaven, ruling on David's throne. But it was these things that caused this weeping prophet to cry out with a loud, passionate plea that says, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. My friends, tonight I want you to understand that God's plea has not changed. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. You and I no longer have the prophets today, but we do have their words. And we have a completed revelation that has been given to us by God. And we can learn from what the prophets wrote. Paul in Romans 15, 4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. It does not appear that man has changed very much from the way Jeremiah depicted him even in his day. It appears that inanimate creation is still obeying God while man is rejecting his counsel. Nations are still warring against other nations. Kings and rulers and presidents are rising and falling and living in shame. People are still pushing for change that moves man further and further away from God. Sin is being renamed and repackaged for social acceptance. We are trying to find a way to get man to accept sin, so we just call it by different names and we're propagating that before all the world. And there seems to be a situation where man is getting to the point where he cannot blush. He takes no responsibility for his actions. Things that used to be private are no longer private. But through social media, We are now putting everything out with absolutely no shame for everyone to hear and to see. It appears that God is no longer welcome anywhere. He's not welcome among the leaders of our nation. Just look at the legislation and look at what's going on in Washington and look at what they're trying to ram down our throats. Look at what they're trying to make us accept. And look at all of the heinous crimes that's being propagated even in Washington. God is not welcome among our leaders in this nation. God is not welcome among our children in the schools. It appears that man will teach our children everything, but they will not teach them God. Not welcome among our labor force. If you bring too much God on the job, you could end up losing your job. The only place God seems to be welcome is among man's churches, where he gets misused, misquoted, and misrepresented. I believe if Jeremiah was here, I know what Jeremiah would be saying. He'd be saying, "Oh, earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Who will hear and know the significance of the word of the Lord?" What the world don't understand is there's only one word that can save them, and that is the word of God. They need to hear the significance of the word of God. They need to know the surety of God's word. God's word is sure, my friend. Whatever God says, my friend, he is going to accomplish exactly what he says. And when God says he's coming back to judge the world, man better believe that's exactly what God is going to do. If Isaiah was here, he'd be saying, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken." And when the Lord speaks, I believe we ought to listen. If Elijah was here, he'd be saying to the people, just like he did then, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then serve him. But if Baal be God, then serve him." If Solomon was here, he'd be saying, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will give my words unto you. For I have called and ye have refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. You have rejected all my counsel and would none of my reproof." My friends, how many people is that true of today who rejects the counsel of God and would not be reproved by him? No wonder when Paul told Timothy to preach the word, he said, "Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Two negatives and then a positive. Sometimes you got to correct folk when they need to be corrected, and sometimes you need to rebuke folks when they're in sin. And so he said, "Reprove and rebuke and exhort. When they're doing all right, keep on building them up. For the time is coming when men will not endure." That simply means they are not going to put up with sound, healthy teaching. They are not going to allow themselves to be measured by the measuring stick that is God's word. My friends, if Stephen was here, Stephen would be saying the same thing he said in Acts chapter 7. He said, "Ye stiff neck and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did," he said, "so do ye." My friends, when we hear the word of God, my friends, it will work in us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 13. When we hear the word of God, it will teach us and reprove us and complete us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17, Paul says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, truly furnished unto every good work." That word of God will tell you when you're right. It'll tell you when you're not right. It'll tell you how to get right. And it'll tell you how to stay right. So we need the word of God. My friends, when we hear the word of God, it will cleanse us. Psalm 119 and verse number 9. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the word of God." My friends, when we hear the word of God, it will build us up. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 32. "And now," he says, "behold, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified." When we hear the word of God, my friends, it will give us direction. Psalm 119, 105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Jeremiah says, "Oh, earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord." He who will hear the word of the Lord? Who will know the significance of the word of the Lord? Who will know the surety of the word of the Lord? If man will not listen and obey God, then he ought to be shamed by inanimate creation that actually obeys. If you're here tonight, I'm sorry if that was fast for you. But I think you got the point. If you're here tonight, will you hear the word of the Lord? Will you obey the word of the Lord? Will you respond to God in gospel obedience? Will you believe that Jesus is the Christ? He is God and was God here in the flesh. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14, that Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. At some point in time, Jesus became flesh. That one who had always existed in the beginning with God took on flesh so that he might die for us, so that we might live with him. Do you believe in him? Will you repent? Will you hear the word of God when he convicts you of your sin and tells you that you need to repent and turn away from those things? Will you confess Jesus with the mouth, Romans 10:9-10, unto salvation? And will you be immersed in water with him for the remission or the removal of your sins, that you might be added to his body, to his church, Acts 2:47? Will you be faithful to him, Revelation 2:10? Will you live for him? I'll tell you what, you ought to. He died for you. If you need to respond to this invitation, come now as we stand and sing the invitation song.
I was sinking sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea. Billows his will obey. He your savior wants to be. Be saved today. Love lifted me. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me.